The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning, and how are you this Monday? Hangover Monday, right? Hangover Monday. I didn't drink anything on Super Bowl Sunday, but I did watch the game. I actually enjoyed the game. I surprised myself because I'd kind of gotten away from the NFL ever since the rise of the George Floyd woke era and everybody getting down and taking knees and putting on, congressional people taking the knees in the white, nation's capital and all the rest of it. And there are just certain things you just weren't supposed to talk about, et cetera, and the whole push on DEI and everything. It felt like a different game yesterday. I watched it. I don't watch a lot of football. I don't watch a lot of sports in general. In fact, this was the first football game that I've watched all season. So I just watched the big one. That's all. I figure, okay, let everybody else do their thing, and then I'll watch it. You know me. I've talked about it. Lars and I are very similar in this respect, in which we don't know a whole lot about sports. We don't do a whole lot of sports watching and things. But I watched it because it's kind of an American pastime. I wanted to see what it was all about and if it had changed any. Because I don't think I watched much of it last year because it was just like, ugh, Nothing was funny in the ads. There were some funnier ads this time around. I think Doritos and Pringles and some of those ones. What was the one that had the eyebrows flying off of the, was that a pizza? Was it Little Caesars or one of the pizza firms with the flying eyebrows, the guy takes a bite of something and then the eyebrows go flying off? They were pretty creative. I laughed. Some of them I laughed out loud. A lot of the other ones I kind of go, huh? The Lilo and Stitch Disney thing, I don't get that, but Stitch to me looks kind of demonic. And there was a little bit of that going on. Halftime show, I think, was definitely forgettable, wouldn't you say? Now, I have to be fair because I understand that in these, now that I'm 63, Super Bowls are not worried about what I think of the halftime show, and I understand this. But Kendrick Lamar, I've come to the conclusion that the more people that you see dancing in some kind of costume at a Super Bowl halftime show, the less talent or the less actual singing that is going on, and that the singing that is going on there is usually some form of auto-tune. It's just not my thing. I kept hoping after seeing Paul McCartney in the stands, Paul McCartney of the Beatles ended up going to the game, and he was out in the stands, and I was thinking, gosh, wouldn't it have been great to have had him go out just on a grand piano and sing a bunch of his songs? It just would have been great. It would have been 10 times the Super Bowl halftime show, at least. But then about 90% of the people there would probably have no idea who Paul McCartney was. So once again, okay, boomer, I get it. I know. Although the Beatles were before my time. Like, I was 8 when they broke up, for crying out loud. So I guess you'd have to go to, the greatest generation? Or maybe the younger boomers, or the older boomers, rather. Okay, so I enjoyed it. And I had gone for the underdog. There was so much hype for the KC Chiefs that I wondered if this is what ended up happening, is that they came in overconfident because the Eagles just manhandled Mahomes right from the beginning. How many sacks? I got kind of lost track of how many sacks that the Eagles ended up performing on the KC quarterback, Mahomes. And, of course, I think the Philadelphia quarterback was sacked one time. I think one time out of that game. That was about it. Probably not for football fans the best football game, but a lot of it was just like watching and seeing. Okay, how badly are they going to be able to beat up on KC? What the game ended up turning into. But I ended up enjoying it one way or the other. Maybe it's because I was for the birds. I was for the underbird in this particular case. Now, my son Will spent a number of years when he was growing up, with his mother in Kansas City. And so he was going for the KC. And he said, how could you do your son so dirty on this one, Dad? And I said, son, I was born in Pennsylvania. He says, oh, I forgot about that. It's like, most of the time you hear about you in Ohio. And But yeah, I was born in Pittsburgh, although I would have rather seen the Pittsburgh Steelers in there, but not even close to being there. But anyway, enjoyed it. If you have any comment on it, go right ahead and join in. 770-563-3770-KMED. And let's see, Taylor Swift got booed. President Trump got cheered. I thought that was pretty interesting. Tay-Tay didn't seem to know how to react to that. And something tells me that Travis Kelce and she were not having a great night after that game was over. They wanted that done. 770-563-3770-KMED. Hey, coming up this morning, we're going to be talking about the election integrity I was hoping to do on Friday, but kind of got wires crossed. We're going to be doing a little bit of that this morning. Also going to be chatting with Mr. Outdoors, getting the outdoor report. We're going to see some more snow maybe a little bit later this week, but this is going to be looking where you should be going to have some fun. Ryan McMakin is the editor over at Mises Institute, and he has some really interesting thinking everywhere from now's a good time for California to secede, birthright citizenship. He's writing a lot of great articles there. Very, very worth reading over at Mises.org. And we also have Dr. Powers, where past meets present, profiling local history and so much more, along with your calls at 770-5633. We'll continue with kicking into the headlines and more next on The Bill Myers Show.
This is Brent,
KMED.
A little bit of open phone time and noodle around on some headlines, too. 770-5633-770-KMED. By the way, I wanted to, one of these stories kind of got lost in the shuffle of the Super Bowl and tariffs and everything else over the weekend. MilitaryTimes.com reported Friday, the Pentagon cut off a webcast of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's first town hall with troops and department employees on Friday as soon as the questions began. This is really interesting. So he's like doing his big Zoom meeting, and everybody was able to watch it. And this happened. They cut his broadcast shortly after Hegseth promised to be transparent with service members and the public. And Hegseth had talked about 15 minutes of opening remarks. He talked about grooming standards and readiness, border security, and the administration's desire to root out diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And then he opens the floor to questions. And the first person to respond identified himself as someone in the Air Force's Strategic Deterrence and Nuclear Integration section. He ended up asking whether the administration planned to be more assertive in the gray zone, short of going to war, to deter China and Russia. And Hegseth says, that's a good question. And then they cut the feed. Started just playing music. And that was it. And Defense News ended up saying, hey, what the heck was going on? And Defense Department spokesperson said that the broadcast was not an accident or a technical glitch that was predetermined. And so it ended less than 2 minutes after Hegseth pledged to be open with service members. And this is fascinating. And then they're finding out that the past Secretary of Defense also had his Q&As. They weren't broadcast either. And they're saying, well, the Q&A are for the people there. And something tells me that Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is going to change that policy pronto. I don't think that was what he intended. But I thought you'd find that a very interesting little wrinkle in the Defense Secretary's new job, all right? Let me go to Deplorable Patrick. Hello, DP. How you doing this morning? It's on your mind.
Oh, I'm surviving okay, and I want to tell you, my take on the whole football thing is exactly as you described. I don't pay any attention to it, and I usually don't even watch Super Bowl, but I decided to this time, and I waited halfway through that game to, oh, boy, I want to see the halftime show. When they got to that halftime show, I turned the sound off.
Well, the thing is, though, like I'm saying, the more people you see dancing around, the less real talent there probably is. In fact, it looked kind of like a prison break, didn't it?
It looked like hip-hop, a prison break.
Well, yeah, that's just it. The whole thing, you go, you got the hoodies and over your face and everything else. It just reminded me of a prison break or someone's going in to rip off everything from Walgreens, so they cover up their face.
There were women in there, but you couldn't tell they were dressed like the men. So
I know.
It really sucked. I want to ask you about this thing. I've been waiting all weekend to ask you about this thing of the courts blocking Trump's moves. How the heck did we get to that? Do you think that'll stand?
To an extent, it probably will. And the reason being is that I think that there are procedures for shutting down spending and various other things. Unfortunately, a lot of it involves Congress. I was going to talk to Dr. Powers about that a little bit later because I don't claim to be a legal expert on this. One of the challenges of DOGE right now, I think, Patrick, is that they're doing what needs to be done, Elon Musk and everything. They're doing what needs to be done, but I'm concerned that if you're not dotting the I's and crossing the T's, you might not be able to make it stick. You see what I'm getting at? You know, those sort of things. I don't think anyone's questioning that it needs to be done. But Congress may have to have more involvement on this, I think.
I really hope that that Trump has plenty of people around him to double check and go over stuff before he brings it out, because I don't want to see him bring anything out and lose on it.
Yeah, I don't. The other thing is that I don't want to have to see him hire back some of these idiots that need to be done. Now, the thing is, though, there is something within most federal contracting that says, you know, okay, you get this money and you have all of these, you know, this money coming into you. If funds are available, we're all subject to funds being available. There's usually a caveat in most federal contracts, you know, about this. And so the fact that they yank the funding could be, could make it okay for Trump. And you also got to figure, though, that the judges that are saying that they're doing everything wrong with DOGE, it's like the most recent one you're speaking of, I believe, is an Obama appointee, okay, appointed by Obama. So they take a very dim view of cutting government money. Get the popcorn, though, I think. I don't think President Trump's going to be backing down on this kind of stuff, all right?
These goofy Democrats are yelling their eyes out, you know, nobody elected Elon Musk. Well, you ever heard of an audit? It's just an audit.
They didn't elect Elon Musk. They elected President Trump, who then appointed Elon to do this. So works for me. All right.
Like he appoints a lot of people.
Okay. Thanks a bunch there, Patrick. Let me go to Holly. Holly, how did the Senate Bill 762 wildfire map workshop go on Saturday in Joe County? Huh? How'd that happen?
It was super busy. We probably had about 100 people through there.
Wow.
There was a lineup in the door by the time we opened up, and we had a lot of people there to help. Mm-hmm. Some of our great team members were there. Oliva Herrera was fantastic. Kelly Dominguez really did a great job of sitting down with people and going through what they needed. And then, of course, we had the leaders. We had Steve Junkus was the attorney. He was there trying to sort out what was going on.
Hey, I'm kind of curious, since Junkus was there. Junkus was also in court Friday with the John West Lily Morgan case. And did he talk about that at all among the group?
Well, we all did talk about it. They're not going to find out until Tuesday what he decided to do. A bunch of information came in at the last minute, mm-hmm. and he will make a judgment on Tuesday. That's of whether that case will move forward.
Yeah, that's the big question on whether how Lily ended up filling out the petitions for the recall, whether it broke the law or not. And I guess the judge will decide whether that case will move forward or just be dismissed, I guess. It's either or, right? That kind of thing?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But see, what happens is you're not supposed to say anything that's untrue on a recall petition. And that, you know, there were a lot of things that are pointed out that certainly appear to be untrue. So,
yeah. And there was another case up northern part of the case, from what I recall, that has a similar kind of bent moving forward. You know, that kind of thing. You know, people getting upset about recall. So people are starting to use that law more often, I guess.
Right.
All right. So anyway, back to the Senate Bill 762. So more than 100 people showed up, pretty busy. And so off we go to the races, huh, for the appeal races.
But what has to happen, the important takeaway from that is every single person needs to file their appeal. Mm-hmm. Because there may be a lawsuit about this, because a lot of people are saying it's not constitutionally sound to even have done it.
Oh, yeah, and that's very well could be, and so you better have standing. You better be involved in the system at that point, right?
So you at least have to have that. And there's also a cease and desist, which basically is something you file that says, I don't believe you had standing to even do this constitutionally. And mm-hmm. so many people are filing that as well. So there are a number of different things, but every single person must file that appeal. So if someone hasn't done that yet, grab your packet and get busy doing that. And even citizens who don't have a property in the hazardous zone should probably be doing it because you're next. And basically what's happening is they are trying to chase everybody out of the rural lands and into the city.
So they're coming for the high risk first, and then they could be the moderate, like my property over in East Medford's moderate. They call it a moderate risk. So what is the moderate risk going to mean over time? Right. Maybe they tighten down on that kind of stuff, too. The ability you can't put up a shed, let's say, without hardening your home, you know, those sort of things. Right.
Oh, and you can't, you know, particularly in farmland, you know, they don't want, you know, they don't want new building on farmland, precious farmland. So they want all the farmers to live in town and have to commute out to, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows and then go, you know, come back into town to have breakfast. And, you know, I mean,
that's a very interesting point, Holly.
Farm living.
Well, thanks for making it. I'm glad the turnout was great. That's wonderful news.
It was.
All right. Good hearing from you, Holly. You take care. Holly Morton, once again, chair of the Republican Party, Josephine County. Let me go to the next line here on Monday as we get rolling. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Bill. Greg out in Shady Cove.
Greg, how is life in Shady Cove this morning? What do you say?
Well, we're enjoying it. We're going to talk about the football game. I didn't watch much of it. I was watching George Harrison Memorial Concert on public television.
Oh.
My questions about the football game would be, what was the best commercial, and if any of them were political? And then on that halftime show, did they actually show that person pulling out the Palestine flag?
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice any of that going on. But maybe I missed it. Of course, once it started, I kind of stopped paying attention, you know, and it just, and so I kind of turned it down and started doing other things. So it just wasn't all that entertaining to me. Maybe he did pull out a Palestine flag. I haven't seen any reporting on that one or didn't notice it. But
that's
as far fun. Now, my favorite, there were some good ads on there and some real stinkers too, for that matter too. Couldn't believe the Dunkin' Donuts ad. I thought was just absolutely incomprehensible. I didn't get it. You know, the one thing I noticed, Greg, is that they seem to have, there were a lot of outer space alien kind of ads. And it almost strikes me as the system's trying to predictively program us in some way for some sort of unveiling. That's just my opinion. I could be absolutely off base on this one, but it seems kind of odd that all of a sudden everyone seems to be jumping on that. But which, of course, one of the ads was involving aliens, and the Doritos ad was one that I tended to like. Pringles was another good one. It seems like the snack chips were some of the people that did some of the more creative stuff, you know, the snack stuff, you know, going on. And Jeep, I think, had some very interesting ads. With Harrison Ford on there. And, you know, I don't know if it'll sell any more Jeeps these days, but, you know, who knows? I thought they were pretty. It was an interesting ad, not what I would call like a funny ad, those sort of things.
There was. And then the closing statement might be the one about the three bears. They had a commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one was that again? Three bears? You know, that's the problem. Sometimes when the ad is funny, and then I forget, you know, what the actual product was.
I think that was the Ram product.
Maybe that was Ram? Okay.
The guy that talks about cars might talk about that. I'll let you go, Bill.
All right. Hey, good hearing from you, Greg. Take care. 6:30 at KMED, 99.3 KBXC. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show. We're going to dig into the need for election integrity and even auditing elections right now. I know a lot of people are thinking, hey, everything went fine in November. Nothing to worry about. Move along. And we're not going to go in that direction for a little while. We will get the latest from Gregory Stenstrom. He's a co-author of Parallel Election, a Blueprint for Deception. Still work to do here.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we...
Guys, guns.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:36. Proud to bring on Greg Stenstrom. And Greg Stenstrom is co-founder of Patriot.online. It's a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. You're a tech leader and data scientist, too. You've been a CEO, a CTO, and a CIO. Oh, boy, I tell you, your business card must be about a 3x5 card at this point. Isn't that right, Greg? Welcome to the show.
It just has, it's a calling card. It just has my name on it.
Oh,
so, whoever I'm talking to, I write on the back, write my number, or write my email. So
Now you are also co-author of the book Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception. And before we get into this latest report, which came out here recently, a bipartisan report on election integrity and security, tell us a little bit about parallel election and what is a parallel election and what have you and Leah Hoops been talking about here for a while?
Well, bottom line is there's two elections. There's the one that you think you're doing, you know, everyone's going down and voting. And then the parallel election is the one they're counting. So the way the votes are processed and the way votes are inserted and adjusted into the system, we don't have elections right now. We have selections we have selections. So that's it.
Now, is this in all states, or is this in states such as like Oregon, which are pretty much a harbinger, or you know, big on mail-in elections? And not a lot of ability to audit them, or is it something else going on?
It's in all states.
But really?
Yes, it's more, we've discovered it's in all states. And you can tell it's, you know, when people doubt that, I look at it and I say, well, look at in Pennsylvania, I'll just use that as an example. Our House of Representatives in Pennsylvania is 101 Democrats and 101 Republicans. Our U.S. Senate is 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Our House of Representatives, I think right now, is, 219 to 216 or 15, I think. 216, correct. So this parity, how does this parity actually exist? It can't exist. It's a selection process, and it's a horse trading in the back rooms, and it's done for the extraction of wealth.
Oddly enough, maybe there's a case to be made with this, Greg, because the one thing that you have when you have deadlocked or when you don't have governing majorities going on in either direction, really, that everybody has to get their free pony to a certain extent in order to move forward. So is this kind of what you mean by, it's a map for wealth extraction of the people?
It is. It's a wealth extraction program for the people. And we don't have, at the national levels, at least, and most of the state levels, at the corporate level, we have a uniparty. There is no the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And you see evidence of it every day. I mean, we can go into the technical. We know they do this. We have massive proof of massive election fraud, and we know exactly how they do it. And they do it a combination of machines, mail-in ballots, and so forth. But the parity and the free pony, Mitch McConnell. I mean, look, all of a sudden he's walking over on the Democrat side, and you know that we needed John Fetterman of all people, a U.S. senator from Pennsylvania, who is a hardcore Democrat, had to cross the line on a couple of things to get some of these the confirmations done and move some things along, which has been a real surprise to me. But I think when people see these parity and this is what this wealth extraction program and the winking between parties and winking between officials. I think one of the big things that's coming out is the U.S. Digital Services, or DOGE, they call it now. Everyone's familiar with DOGE, but they don't realize that it's a program or it's an agency that was renamed that has tremendous capabilities. And as you're seeing now, with this, I think the USAID was the most glaring one at pay for play. $50 billion, $300 billion, I can't even follow it.
And much of it going into, shall we say, foreign policy, corrupt foreign policy arenas such as Ukraine, as an example, right?
Absolutely. It was, what they're finding is USAID was an arm of the CIA and an arm of what they call the nomenclatura. You know, I've written an article on the council. It's probably too much to get into right now. But there's a small group of people that run this country
and or they think they run it. They think they're our stewards.
Well, they have been able to run it, because I wouldn't be surprised if when you look at what happened with just USAID, just one, you know, just one of these agencies, you could hide a lot of intelligence agency black box projects in such a thing, couldn't you? That sort of thing.
Just... Absolutely. They've already found it. They found payments to Al Qaeda. They found payments to the Taliban. They found payments to all kinds of enemies of our country. It is beyond the pale.
Yeah. But did we really buy condoms for Hamas for Hamas males, or did we just say, hey, you pretend to buy condoms and here's the foreign aid for you, right? That kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. There's a shuffle of the money. And USAID, one of the reasons the Democrat Party was out there screaming, and basically they're screaming at an empty building. I got U.S. Congressman, a Democrat U.S. congressman and woman, you know, standing outside of the Department of Education, USAID, screaming like toddlers because they can't get in. And what the people standing at the doors, and there's some great memes on it, are telling these people is, hey, there's no one home here. There's no, even if you came in the building, you sent them all home in March of 2020. The building's empty. There's nobody home. And all of these congressmen, the biggest thing they're afraid of is we're going to find out exactly why Nancy Pelosi is worth $400 million and why AOC, who didn't have bus fare to get to D.C. when she was selected in New York some years ago, she's now worth $25 or $30 million. Omar, you look at the list of what these congressmen are worth and the senators are worth, and how does someone... how does a public servant, even with a generous salary of $174,000 in platinum benefits, even with that salary, the wealth that these people have accumulated has been...
That's the whole point of our democracy, with a little trademark symbol next to it. Our democracy meaning, yeah, our democracy, our grift. And something tells me that this is... And what could make this very... difficult to flesh out right now is that I'll bet it has to be a bipartisan grift. I don't think it's just a Democratic grift. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely bipartisan. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very tender situation. And watching President Trump, if anybody, the way I perceive President Trump proceeding is he's keeping his campaign promises because, if a U.S. senator dropped dead tomorrow, if a Republican, senator dropped dead, or there was something that happened, we had to have a runoff. Mm-hmm. The balance of power is such that he's got to move quick, and he's, doing his campaign promises. And the reason the elections are so important is if we don't secure even 2025, they're putting at the state levels, they're jamming in judges at the lower levels, and in 2026, they are going to go after that U.S. Congress. With claw hands, and they're going to steal the House, and we're going to end up with a two-year presidency.
Essentially, the Empire Strikes Back, right?
Correct.
The Empire Strikes Back kind of script. By the way, if you just joined us, I'm speaking with Greg Stenstrom. He's co-founder of Patriot.online. He's also co-author of Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception. So even though things looked kind of okay in the November election, I would imagine that there are many Americans that go back to sleep and are just saying, hey, we've, at least to the Republican side, they're going, hey, we won and Trump's going to take care of business. But it would be unwise then to go to sleep and just go back to watching television, over the next 2 to 4 years. Is that pretty much your bottom line?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the things is, the executive branch, President Trump as the executive, has a tremendous amount of power. But the way our Constitution was set up, our states do run their elections. So there's only so much he can do at the federal level, and he's doing it. I think he's done a wonderful job the past few weeks. But at the state level, it requires people to participate, and they have to be informed. We wrote the book, The Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception, because we describe exactly how the election's stolen. And how it's done,
who in your community does it, why they do it.
Yeah, do you have a section in there maybe detailing what goes on in vote-by-mail states like Oregon? Because Oregon is pretty much a democratically dominated state with red counties. You know, we have red rural counties or semi-rural counties around it. It's very much like your typical blue hive mind in which you're dominated by a couple of urban areas and then everything else is, you know, hey, the heck with you. And I'm kind of keying off on this latest one. Honest Elections Report ended up putting out a report recently, the 2025 Safeguarding Our Elections Report. And they're talking about a dozen measures that need to be looked at. And it goes beyond voter ID. Do you have any comment on that? I imagine this is something that's right down your alley.
Oh, absolutely. There's first of all, I'm a high-tech person. I've done high-tech my whole life. And the best way to run an election is low-tech, decentralized. So what you would see in Oregon and see in any state is what's protected our country for years is decentralization. Voting in your neighbor's garage, for example, you know, 10, 15 people. The reason communists hated that was because it worked, and it kept the communists at bay, and it kept communities voting honest.
Yeah, when you had the nice senior citizen people that would open up the election ledger when you would show up to the precinct to vote, you know, but at least they were looking at your ID. And they were keeping an eye on it. I think it was a lot harder. You would have had to have a lot more people involved to be able to commit fraud. It's probably a little easier in some ways.
Now, very tough. I mean, in Delaware County, we're a big county. So we had only 4 years ago. Well, in 2019, it took 3,200 people to run an election across the county communities. 3,200 people. What they want to do, which they did in Oregon already, they've done in several other states where they've consolidated, everyone mails in their vote, and a couple of people count them. That's what happened when they centralized the vote. So now in Delaware County, you know, we're fighting hard here. We filed a lawsuit because the director of elections and a small group of politicos who are crazy people, communists. They want to take over the votes. Oh, no, you guys can't do this. You know, it's going to three or four of us are going to control the vote from now. And we're going to count the vote for you because you're not capable of counting it.
And here in Oregon, we have the situation where you technically are running local elections, but you run since we're all agencies of the state. The Secretary of State writes the rules then to make it very opaque and very difficult to audit elections, which is what's happened here in our state.
Sure. Anything you can't audit, you got to be suspicious of. And that's what we found and what we talk about in the parallel election and how to break through that. And we have it really requires grassroots participation because the party isn't going to fix it. Everyone thinks, well, we won. The RNC is on top of it. The RNC was stuffing money in their pockets as fast as they could. Trump won based on his who he was. And the grassroots people that supported him. And I think in most cases, the RNC worked against him. They didn't buy the RNC just in Pennsylvania. They didn't buy any sign. They didn't even buy a sign for the guy. They didn't even buy a sign. We were buying billboards and signs and at the grassroots level and doing things all at the grassroots level.
So you have Trump as the figurehead, very popular figurehead of the Republican Party. And then, but you think a lot of the money ends up being funneled into more of the, like the Senate group as an example, Mitch McConnell still pulling the financial strings there, right? Still, the empire still in charge, I guess, is what you're telling me, in spite of rumors to the contrary.
Trump he'll do what he can. I mean, he's going to do what he can. And I I'm really happy. I see that he's got he did a great job on his cabinet. Phenomenal job. We've got Pam Bondi now as the confirmed U.S. Attorney General, and she's coming, and she's going to go after the election fraud. Cash Patel is going to come after the election fraud, and as one of many things that have to be taken care of. But what they really, you can tell, in the first minute of the inauguration speech, President Trump identified the problem, and he said, there's a wealth extraction program run by a relatively small group of people that is stealing this country blind, and I'm going to stop it. He said that in the first minute of his inauguration speech. And if you trace back everything that he's doing, whether he's going after USAID or elections, I think the Department of Education is done probably as of this week, as it should be. I didn't have a Department of Education. You know, I'm a little older. The Department of Education didn't come into play until 1980. I had already graduated high school in 79, which was at the Naval Academy.
Hey, that's amazing. Hey, I graduated in 79, too. Same situation. We didn't have a Department of Education. Somehow we managed, huh? Fascinating.
Yeah, it was done at the state level. And so what they did is if you look at I'm going to go way back. You go to 1963, and the U.S. Congress Committee on they were trying to stop communism. They entered basically the Communist Manifesto, and they said this is what they're going to do over the. You know, these are the 60 some odd priorities they had, and one of the biggest priorities was taking over the schools. And the way they do that is they centralize. Think about this way: whether it's elections, or education, or USAID. And I don't know what agency they're going to go into next. When someone says, hey, we need to centralize things, we need to centralize the voting. We're going to count the votes for you. You know, we're going to take all the money and put it in USAID for all of the special projects. We're going to centralize that. We're going to centralize the education system, and you're going to send all the money to us, and then we'll parse it out with strings attached.
And that's what happens in the state of Oregon, oddly enough, because it all probably happened at first for a good reason because, you know, back in the early days, you know, you go back a few years, and I forget which measure it was that Oregon voters voted for. But what it did was essentially made the state of Oregon the funder of our local school districts. And so because, you know, the rural districts were very poor and did not have the ability to get enough tax money coming in there. And so, you know, you're having disparate impacts, that sort of thing. You hear that sort of talk in which, the kids in the poor rural areas aren't doing so well. So the fix for this is to centralize it. You send the money up to Salem, then Salem redoles it out, you know, to the local school districts, right? Control from the top at the state level, right?
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
It's like, the Super Bowl was last night. Can you imagine watching a Super Bowl and the only person you're watching is the quarterback? They just put the camera on the quarterback, and that's it. That's all they showed was the quarterback, the whole show. Mm-hmm. No one watched the Super Bowl. It's what's going on in the whole field. So what we're telling people is keep your eye on the whole field, okay? Because the game's not over. We've got the best quarterback in history, President Trump, in play. He's the star quarterback of, you know, the Super Bowl of our federal government. But if all you do is watch him and you don't watch the whole field and pay attention to it.
Yeah, if you're not watching the Minions, right? Yeah, you're missing it.
Got to watch the wide receiver, the running back.
Yeah.
Watch the whole field and see what's going on to make sure that, you know, the quarterback, the president, has someone to pass the ball to. And if we don't win the election in 2026, he doesn't have anybody he can pass the ball to.
Yeah, well, I think that honestly, he has, he's got maybe a year. Maybe another year to get some real reform put in here, because next year you're going to be into another election cycle. And then almost nothing big or revolutionary tends to get done on those kind of congressional election cycles. I think we all pretty much know that. Parallel Election is the book, A Blueprint for Deception, available at all the usual suspects here, Greg. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Buy it at parallelelection.com. There's a movie there. There's a 28-minute movie that somewhat summarizes the book that I encourage people to watch if they're not readers, and parallelelection.com. You can go to patriot.online, www.patriotonline. We could use some donations. We're completely self-funded. We don't get any USAID money, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I understand that. Now, a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. So you kind of do it all. I mean, what do you have, like an app in which it's kind of like a Patriot version of a Facebook? Or, you know, how would you describe that?
We don't have an app. It's completely web-based and browser-based.
Oh, okay.
And what we have is an ability to store your files. So one of the things that we recognized early was that we saw Facebook and Google and the Meta agencies were controlling and censoring information, and we're finding that out from USAID now. But you know, they're controlling the media. So what we did is we created Patriot Online so that we have storage. You can post anything you want. There's no censoring. There's no you can use your store all your documents up there. We have email. We have we're implementing just in the next few weeks a search engine.
Do you have a service kind of like a OneDrive or a cloud storage type of thing that you offer that people would
yes.
do?
We offer cloud. It's called Patriot Cloud.
Uh-huh.
And if you sign up for an account, you can use the Patriot Cloud to upload any documents you want and then create links to put them in your posts. And the other thing is we allow...
So in other words, it's kind of like, so you don't have to have your own website. You can host it there on your server then. Now, I have to ask you this, and you being a tech guy, you know, understanding a lot of this stuff, are you using Amazon Web Services? Just curious.
No, we have our own private data center.
Good. Okay. Because, you know, you saw what happened back in the beginning of COVID time, that if you spoke against the regime at that point, magically, you know, your credit card transactions ended, look at what happened to Parler, right? What happened to Parler?
Perfect example. Parler was a very viable company that was heavily invested in. They had $100 million into Parler, and then they shut it off. That was it. And Parler ceased to exist.
And I know that everybody is buddying up and playing friendly in the high-tech bro world with President Trump right now. I don't buy it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay?
No. They're, Elon Musk is a good example when he took control of Twitter. And I think he let go 80%, approaching 80% of the staff. And when they asked him, well, how do you do that? How did you cut 80% of your staff? He says, well, when you're not trying to shape, you're not trying to censor and not trying to examine every post, you don't need that many people. And that's Patriot Online. We run a good example of what he did at Twitter. We had already done in 2021. We've been running for some years now. Anyone can go to if you go to www.patriotonline, it's .online. It's not .com or .net. It's patriot.online. Remember America Online, but, Patriot.online, when you go there, if you go to www.patriot.online and you hit enter, you can read the posts. You don't have to be a member. It's only if you become a member, then you get the other services. You get the Patriot Cloud, you get the email. The email has been running since 1994. So our email servers have been running since 1994. They're completely private. We don't collect any private information. It's all in a private data center. We have a VPN. We have all of the things that you would want. So we aggregated multiple services into one platform. That's why we call it a ecosystem.
You know, Greg, that I'm fascinated. I'm glad that you have done something like this, because I have been talking for a long time. And I mean, your book is Parallel Election, but essentially, in spite of the fact that things look better right now than they may have been over the last prior 4 years, let's say, having parallel systems and even the online systems is going to be, I think, part of making sure that that liberty-minded people are still able to exist. Because look at how many people have, you know, they lost their YouTube channels, they lost their file services, they lost their ability to, they were debanked. I mean, all these kind of things. And you're doing it the right way, and I appreciate that. And thanks for having been on the show. We'll have you back, okay? And thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right? Be well.
Thank you. Good luck in Oregon.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Believe me, we need the luck, and a lot of that luck's going to come through hard work, I think. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. You're on the Bill Meyer Show.
Hi, this is Megan at Mini Pet Mart.
And you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
Mr. Outdoors joins us in a few minutes after the Hannity update, and gosh, we got a lot going on. Ryan McMakin joins me also from the Mises Institute. He has written a lot of stuff that is worth reading. I've been reading most of it on, not on Mises necessarily, but maybe I'm going to have to pick up more on Mises too, but on Lou Rockwell And everything from California's secession, it'd be a great time for them to leave. I would agree. You'd have a lot of communists that were out of the U.S. government that would help. See, that's why I'm not all a big fan of like bringing Canada in there. Yeah, just what we need, a whole bunch of more socialists primed to vote that way. But I could be wrong. Let me talk to Ron. Hello, Ron. How you doing? Go ahead.
Good. Thank you for the platform.
You bet.
If the president... Trump did one more executive order, it should be the outlawing of the Dominion and any other connected and associated way to vote that's electronic and or out of the hands of the people, and replace it with a local precinct school where we, like we used to do in the past, where the county would set up a table, you would go in, you would show your ID, you would sign, prepare signatures, then they would give you the ballot, you would put the ballot.
Yeah.
In
other words, back to the future, in other words, instead of the high-tech, instead of filling out the dots and then hoping that everything goes okay between now and the time it gets tallied over in the Secretary of State's office. You know, it's I don't think that an executive order would be able to modify or control, because, you know, essentially, remember, the election system, Ron, is federalized. When I say federalized, it's not run by the federal government. You have 50 different states. You have the 50 states that are actually in the process. Well, of course, also District of Columbia, too. They run their own elections. That's the way it's set up right now. I don't think an executive order could automatically overrule every election process in every state. Do you?
The federal elections could be controlled because it is federally federal candidates and so forth. Now,
you might be able to do it on the federal election only, but even then, it would still probably take some congressional legislation on this, wouldn't you think?
I hope Holly Morton gets on the high gear and calls up president and says, "Hey, let's get this done. We got to stop this." Just like your previous guest said, we've got to stop it now while we still have people in time.
All right. Appreciate the call there, Ron. Thanks for that. And we're going to catch up with Town Hall News in just a moment, then dig into Mr. Outdoors' latest report. That'll be coming up here on The Bill Myers Show.
Are you a renter